Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best day Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is going to be our big 2023 preview. We're going to talk about all the games we know about coming to the Nintendo Switch this year. I can just jump into it. We're getting kind of a late start here. Let's just get going.
Yeah, full disclosure, we're already about 5% of the way through the year, so, I mean, that's...
Is it 5%? Is this how the math works out?
Yeah.
Well, the first games on the list here are out today, Persona 3 and Persona 4 Golden. Both those games, of course, prequels to Persona 5, a game that came out earlier last year, back in October of 2022. These were both PS2 games. Persona 3... It's the portable version, which is the version that eventually ended up on the PSP. There are some changes to it. I don't know if there's any significant changes to like the content, but basically, in Persona 3, the general setup of these Persona games, and I think we've touched on this before, is...
We were just fighting about it right before we hit play. Yeah, hit recording.
I still think you're wrong.
Fuck you.
You're a group of high school students, and you are... needing to take on some sort of like supernatural chaos or happenstances going on in your local area, and by doing so will stop a big bad and save the world. In Persona 3, you're a group of high school students, and what you're doing is you're entering the same dungeon over and over again, much like you do in Mementos in Persona 5, and kind of working your way up this tower up to the 256th floor, and then that's where the...
God!
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And it's all like... procedurally or randomly generated, so it doesn't have dungeons or like its own personality or puzzles.
So it's just a really big Mementos.
It is, it's just a big dungeon crawler is what it is. And like these series, Persona, Shin Megami Tensei, they have their roots in those sort of like I guess like PC dungeon crawlers, where like the original Shin Megami Tensei games were like first person walking through dungeons, kind of like working way through a maze and fighting enemies. And it's not until you get into like later SMT and Persona games that they become more of what you consider like a traditional JRPG with a lot of social aspects to it. But Persona 3 definitely does not have like the same sort of like depth of personality. That sort of stuff starts in Persona 4. We're getting the golden version of Persona 4, which is the version that came to the Vita. And I think you're able to choose from a couple of different protagonists in that version, if I'm not mistaken. Has some expanded content. That's one that's definitely worth revisiting if you really like Persona 5. And $20. $20 each, which, you know, that's a pretty decent price for these games.
Damn it.
What?
I'm 80-some hours into Persona 5. I don't need to pick up 4. Engage is coming out.
And you just, like, blew all of your cash in Persona 5 on Shiva. You were able to... You're level, what, 60, 70, something?
I just hit 60, and I just bought level 84 Shiva.
Yeah, you just recruited level 84 Demon into your party. You're like...
I think that's the strongest... judge persona is Shiva.
I don't know.
I think Shiva is the strongest judge persona, because I think it popped up after I maxed out.
Yeah, it's end game demon.
Yeah,
it's crazy that.
Yeah, I'm just sitting on this guy. Hey, what's up, buddy?
You just sat now. Yeah, but those two games, very cool. If you're looking for, you know, these lengthy social based RPGs, because we've talked about Persona 5 a bunch at this point, but it is like...
We're going to be talking more about it on the mini show.
What would you say? Like a 50% sort of visual novel?
Oh, I would say much more than 50%. Yeah. More like 80% visual novel. Oh, it feels like... I mean, it's not, but I mean, the way I compare this Persona game is like I'm watching an anime and the gameplay are the commercials.
Right. Well, they do... especially like in the first, I guess, like maybe three quarters of the game, they do like these... They break up these big story dump segments. You'll have like a big story dump, and then you'll have, you know, a bit of time to kind of roam around and do the things that you feel like doing, like whether you're like building your relationship with other characters or building up your personal stats. You can go dungeon crawling if you want. And then they'll have like, okay, well, now here's the point where, you know, you have to like see the conclusion of this chapter and then start up the next one. So then you have to sit through another hour and a half, a Morbius worth of dialogue and all that shit. By the time when I was playing this on PS4, by the time I got to the back half of the game, I was fast forwarding through all of that. Like, yes, I get it. We close out this. We're gonna find the next guy. Oh, let's just get
I'm
to
eating it up. I'm eating it up. Just watching every little bit because I enjoy story. And then this is fun to me. This is great.
I'm glad.
But let's talk about Persona 4 though. Yeah, instead of 5.
Right.
So it's just like this.
Persona 4 definitely has much more in common with Persona 5. You can see like the skeleton of Persona 5 in Persona 4. Instead of like being like this small fish in a big pond, like in Persona 5, you're the kid who goes to the city and has to acclimate to the life there. It's kind of the other way around. You're in a small town, so the scope of the game, like there's not as many like places to go or things to interact with. But like the activities you're doing are very much the same. You're building your personal stats. You're building your relationships. There is an obvious dating choice, Wes. You're going to get it right this time. When it is time to pick your dating partner, who you're going to romance. There's no creepy teacher relationship. Praise God.
God.
There's actually like fewer social link opportunities. Like Persona 5 gives you tons and tons of different social link opportunities. Yeah,
you got like less than 20, but it's like close to 20. It's like 18 or something.
It's a lot. I'd say there's probably like half of that, maybe a dozen in Persona 4 that I know about. Maybe Golden expands it because I played the PS2 version, which is just the standard one. It is more like 5 in that you have like actually just like specific dungeons. Like this is a dungeon that revolves around this character. You're going to be doing certain things in this dungeon that kind of light puzzle solving. You don't like the big thing about Persona 5 is that it adds in all like the stealthy like ambush and surprise attacks. You don't get that in the other Persona games. It's more straightforward combat. You can see the enemies roaming around, and you can like you can try to sneak up on them and like strike them with your weapon to gain the advantage in a fight. But the combat is all like working very much the same. If you get that initiative, you're going to be able to all your characters will be able to move first. You're going to try to knock the enemy prone and then do an all-out attack. The combat works very, very similar. You'll encounter a lot of similar demons. There are a lot of demons that carry over from game to game. Then each game has like their own like exclusive ones or ones that you haven't seen in a while. Like kind of like handle like Pokemon does now. Not every demon is going to be back in there, but yeah. You'll see a bunch that you recognize. But yeah, both those games, very cool. I think that's neat that the Switch is getting these things. And tomorrow, as of recording time here, Fire Emblem Engage comes out. Wes, yep. I'm pumped. Are you pumped?
I am, but
oh, I'm so pumped. The reviews
I still got like 20 hours left of Persona 5. Like, I don't have time for Fire Emblem.
The reviews are coming. I think it's like it's holding above an 80 on Metacritic, which is very good.
Yeah.
Very good to see like those 8s out of 10s. Yep, definitely worthwhile. I am pleased to hear that it is... generally, consensus is that it's much more akin to... a Fire Emblem before Three Houses. It has less of like the social aspect, like the relationship building between all these characters and like base building and working in your school and stuff. It's just more of like a straightforward tactics. And there is like the base thing in between where you can do things like stock up on weapons and things like that, but it's a much smaller aspect of the game.
As it goes back to like formula.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that has to do with, like, Intelligence Systems is actually developing this game, as opposed to, like, Three Houses. Intelligence Systems developed, but Tecmo Koei was the primary developer on that one. So, yeah, very, very cool. I'm very excited to get in this game. The Weapons Triangle is back in.
Oh, good.
Which was kind of in Three Houses, but kind of in a roundabout way. You had to, like equip, like, the skills in order to do it,
yeah,
rather than just like be inherent to the character class. I don't know actually if there's going to be as much like class swapping around as in this one, or if characters going to be like more like locked in, like this is your path. They are bringing back a world map, like in Sacred Stones, mm-hmm. with like the map.
Oh, good.
You can get into your skirmishes and stuff.
Oh, good, cool. That's very good.
And from what I hear, like weapon durability is not going to be as big an aspect.
Good.
I think like it's possible that weapons can break or you can get disarmed, but it's not something where you're going to be like having to restock on weapons all the time.
I thought that was the biggest pain in the butt with Fire Emblems, because it's like, oh, now I gotta buy more iron swords, and iron swords really, like, I was using iron swords endgame because you can
buy a lot of them.
You can buy a lot of them, and on top of that, like, they weren't as heavy as steel swords, so you're like almost guaranteeing the double attacks, which at that point you're doing more damage than single attacks with the higher weapons. I mean, it just, until like the last like 5 missions, I was using iron swords and shit. I mean, just,
yeah, and
you just don't really need to use anything else.
Yeah, there's this weird sort of economy to the weapon durability in early Fire Emblem, where iron swords are your weakest, but also your most durable, which is strange, and also the least expensive.
Yeah.
But you would think, like, as you get to the more expensive stuff, they're going to be better all around, not just stronger attack. You're also going to get more durability out of it, but that's not the way it worked out. And also, like, by the time you get to the late stages of the game, money doesn't mean much anymore.
Yeah.
So the fact that you have to, like, restock these things, it just kind of gives you a chore to do.
And it gave me a headache, too, to sitting here managing, going, all right, I need this, this, and this for you. All right, go to the next person. I need this, this, and this for you. And it just got annoying just managing all that shit.
And I think if they bring back things like customizing your weapons or, like, crafting them, like they did in Three Houses in particular, but also a couple other games, you're able to sort of craft.
Path they had it? Path they had that.
Maybe? I don't remember.
Path or at least Radiant.
Radiant. They should remake those games.
They should, like, really should. We should get those games again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those games were mwah, chef's kiss. Even though you get the Lazghouls that you want to use, but they're freaking item that you can't get more of, has a certain amount of uses. You're like, it's fucking pointless using this thing.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting mechanic for them to revisit with less durability. Because, like, there's the durability of the thing that lets them transform into their beast forms, and there's also that they can't stay in their beast form.
Yeah, that was dumb. I wanted to use this tiger guy, but it's pointless. So instead, I'm going to use him for a little bit, but he's just going to soak up experience that are used for other people.
Yeah, I never really use those characters.
Yeah, that's why I didn't use them, because I was like, I don't want you soaking up experience when you're going to become useless to me.
But where were we? Oh, yeah, Engage.
Yeah, Engage. From what I saw of the trailers and little videos of it, it seems like they really want to streamline that whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, you don't have to feel like you have to spec out every single character. There's just going to be a lot of auto-equipping, and you can... It seems like a lot of their power is derived from these rings, and you can just re-ring everybody all day long if you want.
Now, see, the rings, that's one of the first things they showed about the game, and I was a little bit concerned about it because I felt like, okay, well, here's just like... They're playing up the nostalgia for the series that hasn't been in North America long enough for us to have nostalgia for these characters.
And nostalgia.
For Marth? Like, you have nostalgia for Marth from Fire Emblem. Or, no, sorry, from Super Smash Brothers.
Super Smash Brothers. Yeah, I haven't played the Marth game.
The Marth game, we only got it in North America on the DS when Shadow Dragon came
out. Ike shows up. You're like, fuck yeah, it's Ike. Let's go, buddy.
I do like Ike. And I have my Ike
like
amiibo.
Ike. We like...
He fights for his friends.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
I have my Ike amiibo, and if you scan the Ike amiibo, you can have your main character dress like Ike, which, of course, yes, that's exactly
what your main character is going to look like now. I'm going to bring mine over so I can scan it.
Which, you know, I do have a point of irritation with this game. They announced the expansion pass before the game is even out.
Like fucking A.
And you, like, it's $30. You can buy it immediately, and the immediate rewards for it aren't good. It's just like, here's some costumes and shit. All right. No.
Stop doing that.
Yeah, I find it really, really annoying. They did it for Xenoblade 3 as well.
It's insulting.
They, like, at least wait, like, a month before you're like, hey, give us more money for this $60 game. I find it just, like, rude. It's impolite for them to be like, $60 game, also give us $30 more. No, I don't wanna. So I won't.
Yeah, I don't, like, I didn't grab the DLC for the new Xenoblade, and
I won't grab it until, like, all the content is out, then I'll
probably But even indulge. Then, like, most of that content's kind of, like an extra character, like...
They're starting off, like, characters, and they're doing the same thing with Fire Emblem. Mm-hmm. They start off with things like characters and costumes and items, things like that, but then by the time they get to the end of it, there's supposed to be some sort of, like, story expansion. So I would presume with Fire Emblem that means extra missions, and with Xenoblade, you know, we probably won't get something on the scale of Torn of the Golden Country, but something akin to that, where you just get extra stuff to do.
I mean, if they were to give us something like Torna, then I'd be like, all right, that justifies DLC.
Yep.
That justifies an expansion pass. But if it's like just a little bit here and there, I'm like, this is just you being dicks, and... Like, completely, yeah, I don't need that shit.
And I think it's like the Breath of the Wild DLC... was pretty good once it was all out. It was well worth it.
And that came out a good chunk after the game for a while. Like, that's the way to do it. I didn't even know there was going to be DLC and just kind of showed up. And we're like, that's the way to fucking do it.
Yep.
But
we've all kind of just kind of... we all, as in general people who consume video games, just kind of gotten accustomed to. Like, hey, here's the season pass, here's the expanded content, go ahead and buy it now. And it, apparently it works out well enough for them to keep doing it, which is...
Yeah, and it's not just gaming, but there's an interesting thing I saw recently about all the different things that we consume that are moving away from the idea of proprietary ownership of a thing and into more of a subscription service. Yeah,
you pay for access to it.
Yeah, interesting.
Anything else about Fire Emblem Engage that we wanted to address?
Do you think I could pull off that hair?
Yes, absolutely. But
you mean Penny's hair?
is that the main character's name?
It will. My hair will get less poofy as it gets longer. All right, just
Penny from awkward point. Penny from the new Pokemon game.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The girl that has the half red. It's the identical hair. They basically just stole the hair from this character. I mean, I get it that it's supposed to be the duality of red and blue, but it is exactly her haircut.
Mm.
I have a coworker that has like half red hair and half black hair. Very good. It's like split down the middle of her head.
Makes sense that she works at Target.
Yeah.
We were talking about the rings, because that was one of the things that worried me about the game when it was first announced and they're showing like these things, Planet of the Nostalgia, and also having like these partner characters that, you know, in Fire Emblem Awakening, you could have the pair up with the characters, and it made them very powerful. So I was just worried that it's going to make the characters overpowered. I'm less worried about it now because, first off, I always play these games on hard mode, and
well, they're talking about like lesser rings, so everybody gets a ring.
I probably can't try this time. I never do that. I usually do my first playthrough in normal, and then.
Well, and it's from what I've seen, it seems to work a little bit more akin to a CO in Advance Wars, where you're building up a meter, then you're doing a big attack. You do get some benefits from just having the thing equipped, but it doesn't seem to be quite as powerful as having like a partner character in Awakening until you build up that meter. So it seems like that will be a decent way to sort of balance it out. So yeah, I'm pumped. It's coming up tomorrow. Wes is going to bring it to me tomorrow because he's a gentleman. Because Amazon, best website in the world, was like, no, you got to wait 4 days.
Yes.
And they've done this to me before.
I mean, it's going
to
be 10 o'clock at night by the time I knock on your door, but...
That's okay. I got to...
It's probably going to be at least another week before I touch it, because I still have Persona 5. I'm not walking away from that game. I have a bad habit of walking away from games and not getting back to it, and I refuse to do that with this game.
You're going
to
get there. We're going to be, like, here next week, and you're going to be talking about how you finished it. And
I don't know. I still got like 20 some hours. I don't know if I'm gonna finish it.
It's gonna take you 120 like, hours. You're like hour 80 something now. You're gonna spend another 40 hours over the next 7 days.
Oh my god!
Like a maniac.
I just this game is absorbing my life.
Mm.
It's really good. It's so good. I did think I liked this game as much as I did. All right.
Let's see. A couple of rapid fire ones here. Blanc is a little indie game coming out on February the 14th. It's the little, the black and white one with the fox and the deer, and you're like going on adventures together and stuff. That one looks all right. Theater Rhythm Final Bar Line is out on February the 16th. That's the music rhythm game with all the Final Fantasy music in it. It was originally on the 3DS. There were two games. I think there were two individual games. But it's got like 1,000 Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest songs and all sorts of Square Enix music content. So there's a lot in there. One of the things about the DS one is you're playing a lot on the touchscreen. So, I don't know. I'm sure like, people who are really into this thing won't have a problem using a controller or the Switch touchscreen, but it seemed to be really ideal for a 3DS touchscreen.
Hmm.
Tales of Symphonia Remastered is out on February the 17th. And then on February the 24th, we get the big releases, Kirby's Return to Dream Land, which is a HD remaster of the Wii game, as well as Octopath Traveler 2. Either guy's in for Octopath Traveler 2? I'm excited.
I would like to say yes, but I didn't beat the first one. So it's probably going to be like I'm going to borrow John's kind of situation.
Mm. And once you're done to Fire Emblem?
Yeah, when I'm done Fire Emblem. Well, after Fire Emblem, I got Temtem and...
Oh, that's right. You still have that
game. I still haven't touched Temtem. I bought it before I bought Persona. And then I bought Persona. I was like, screw it. Let's play Persona.
You got to finish Mario plus Rabbids.
Oh, my God. I'm probably not finishing that.
I finished it the other
day. I got enough out of it that I was happy, but...
The final boss fight is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The final boss fight, you actually, like, take all 9 party members.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it's still, like, you move 3, and then you tag to the other 3, and then you move those 3, and then... You just keep on rotating around.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. There's a really neat fight. I kind of wish there were more like that in the game.
DLC. The expansion pass.
That's another one where Ubisoft was like, before the game was announced, hey, you can get the Rayman expansion pass. I was like, nah, that's okay. That's all right, fellas. But I'm really pumped for Octopath Traveler 2. I really like the first one. Really nice battle system, really nice looking game. I like how you have to exploit enemy weaknesses in order to clear out their defenses and expose them. A bit like Persona in that way, where you get to do your big attacks once you break down the defenses.
Yeah.
You know? There's a thief character.
There is, yeah. You really enjoy your thieves.
And the Kirby game, I really liked it on Wii. Ripley really likes Kirby. We'll probably end up playing a lot of this one in co-op. Moving forward, Fatal Frame Mask of the Lunar Eclipse out on March the 9th, you guys.
That was pretty cool.
Brian, you in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are we going over the full year here? Is that what we're doing? Like, what's happening here?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we only really have solid release dates up until May, and then there's a bunch more after that.
Okay.
But, yeah, we're moving chronologically. So, it is not coming out physically in North America. I think in the next week or two, I'm going to order my import copy. Do you want an import copy?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you buy two. I'll hit you over for that one.
Okay. I will buy two copies. Mm-hmm. Now we're on the same page this time around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really dig these games, these Fatal Frame games. I think they're really tense, really fun. Physically draining. Like, they're broken up into chapters, and I can never play more than one chapter at a time because they're so tense. Mm-hmm. Let's see, there's a little indie game, Oni Road to Be the Mightiest Oni, out on the same day. That was in a...
That one looks pretty good.
Yeah, it was in a partner direct. So that one looked alright. Oh, we got a new Bayonetta game, Bayonetta Origins, Cereza and the Lost Demon, out on the 17th. I'm pretty excited for that one. I like those Bayonetta games. This one looks more like an adventure game as opposed to a straight-up action game like Bayonetta is. It's also got a very painterly quality to it. It's like the camera's further back, almost isometric, and you're moving like through these very painterly, I don't know how else to describe it, environments. Not exactly sure what the core of the gameplay is. All they've shown is walking so far, but it doesn't matter. I'm in.
It's a shoe shopping simulator.
Oh, like Style Savvy. Perfect. Oh, we gotta add Style Savvy to the tier rankings because that's a Nintendo franchise. It is. It counts.
God.
Atelier Ryza 3 actually got delayed just yesterday to March 24th. They did have it coming out on February the 24th, on the same day as Octopath 2 and Kirby's Return to Dreamland, so probably for the best.
Yeah, that's a good move.
That they delayed that game. That's Dez's birthday. Should I get it for her?
Yeah, I mean...
No, she won't get it.
I was about to say, like, what the...
No. She won't get it. I bought the second one, which I think came out last year, like January. And you know how we're gonna keep going back to Persona. It's our touchstone game at this point. You know how in Persona,
it's our new Reign of Fire.
Like, everything works together, like really, really, really fluidly. Like, little things that you're doing, like in your social aspects or building your personal ranks or in fights or using demons, it all...
Yeah, all just formulates all together.
To do one big thing.
Yeah.
These Atelier games, the one that I've played, there's a lot of systems going on, and I had yet to get to a point where everything was working together, which is probably why I stopped playing it. Like, there was nothing particularly wrong with the battle system. It was fine. Everything functioned. It was pretty good. And there's nothing wrong with, like, the crafting system. There was a lot to it. There are a lot of, like, different items you can gather and ways you can mix things together to make things. And it, like, built out to this big grid. Okay, you've crafted this thing. Now you're able to make this sort of equipment upon. But it never, like, really formulated into something where everything that you're doing was... like part of a bigger picture to advance the rest of the game. It felt very fragmented. So, I don't know. Maybe that's something that they address in this one. Probably not, because I don't think the systems are the main draw of this game. I think that they're banking a lot on the character designs to move copies of this.
This is it?
Is that Lear?
Yeah,
honestly, it doesn't look particularly entertaining. Like, I found a video that's like 20 minutes of gameplay.
It's very flashy, a lot of explosions and big hits and like pow and just
a lot of bright colors and voluptuous ladies.
She's flipping through these different keys. I mean, it's shiny.
Yeah. It's got the eye candy, that's for sure. But I don't know. I don't want to like flat out say that there's not enough gameplay depth. Maybe there is. It did not speak to me in the way that other RPGs do.
Yeah, just kind of looking at what a battle was just doesn't look particularly like that's going to be fun doing that for 40 hours.
Let's see. Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection is out April the 14th. You know, I think there's 10 of those games. Goddamn.
Yeah.
All on the GBA. That's not true. I think there are a couple on the DS. And then the big one, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, out on May the 12th, Ooh. You guys.
That's huge.
We got a new Zelda game. Here it comes. Are you guys pumped? I'm pumped.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Why wouldn't we be pumped?
I mean, we've seen so little of this game. I mean, I have to presume they're going to show more of it.
We just saw him jumping out of the sky into the sky. Like, I mean...
But I think we've known about this game for, like, 4 years and seen, like, a minute and a half of actual gameplay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's extremely good. You know what I learned today? You know, in Breath of the Wild, there's, like, the circle, like, the Korok rocks. There's the circle of rocks and one of them's missing.
Yeah.
The rock... You'll always find it. Like if you start the circle and like face the gap, if you just walk in a straight line out of that gap, no matter how far you have to walk, the rock will always be forward.
From interesting, that.
Okay. Yeah, it's crazy. I never knew.
Yeah, I never would have guessed. Always looking around like an idiot. Like where the fuck is this rock?
Where's this goddamn rock?
Well, it beats the one where you got to stand in that one spot so that the sun hits the thing at the right angle. And then the path shows up. That was...
Oh, yeah.
That was unneededly frustrating.
Yeah, for what was it? That one shrine up in the... up in the highlands or something?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be so good.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I mean, I love the original game, so...
Mm-hmm.
Really interested to see what they do with this one.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We know so little about it. We know, like... I think Stasis is going to make a comeback. I think it's for sure there'll be like bombs and stuff.
Stasis was so cool.
We don't really know anything about like what dungeons are going to be like, if they'll like bring back any like a traditional dungeon, or if they'll have more things like the Divine Beasts.
Generally am positive with it, but at the same time, there's like a watered down dungeon. Like, give me a serious like dungeon.
It's definitely like,
I don't know, I kind of like the shrine approach, really. I like having a bunch of different shrines that I don't feel like I need to invest like 2 or 3 hours into, you know, breaking down. I mean, I feel like
I want both.
The Divine Beasts still give you that, though. I mean, some of those puzzles are not, like, just walk up and insta-solve. A lot of them take a lot of effort to get
through. Like, the elephant wasn't tough. Yeah. And they were, like, two-part. You had to get onto it, and then you had to, like, go through it.
I just like the shorter-form puzzles. And some are puzzles, some are fighting, some are a combination of things. They're all challenging in their own unique way, like... Kind of like that approach, but you know, like if they want to give us a big meaty, like 4-hour dungeon to go through, I hope it's just not. That's it. I hope it's not four of those, and then I'm done with the game. I hope that there's, you know, a lot to explore in this one, like they had with the original.
I think if I were to make a guess, I would say that shrines or something similar to that is coming back, because it's just a way that they can. Like, have those, like, micro-challenges in there that make more sense than trying to put those into an open world. Because the thing with Breath of the Wild, and presumably this game, is that you're able to approach anything from any direction, whether, you know, you're climbing or finding your way. Like, even this one, like, you're finding your way, like, above things, because there's, like, floating islands or, like, burrowing through things, because they've shown Link, like... doing like a reverse time thing or something where they launches himself upwards and through some terrain. We've gotten small glimpse at that sort of mechanic, and just the idea is that you are free to approach anything from any direction you want. And then by putting you in a shrine, they're like, okay, well, you don't have that same sort of freedom here. Here we're going to present you with a challenge, and then you have to figure out what it is we want you to figure out. And of course, there's almost always multiple ways to do it. But they know what you're going to have in there and how well equipped you're going to be to handle it. The Divine Beasts were kind of... They were not like the shrines where there's definitely going to... They weren't as like confined as the shrines. And you'd have some freedom in the way that you were approaching them. But they weren't... the same as other Zelda dungeons, because there was never like the, this is the tool you're going to find here, and we're going to give you a bunch of things that you're going to do with this tool, like a hookshot. And they always had to keep in mind that any of the four could be your first one. So it's not like you're starting off with the easy one and they're going to ramp up to be the most difficult one. Any of them have to be easy enough to be able, for you to be able to get through on your first attempt. Or, you know, the, if it is the first one you are attempting. So, I don't know, like, when you have a game that's entirely open like that, I guess you could, like, say, like, hey, here's a prescribed order to which you're doing things, like they did in Pokemon. Like, here's the one that's going to be the lowest level. You're going to want to do that one first. But I don't think that's sort of their philosophy with Zelda. I don't think they would be like, okay, here's eight dungeons scattered around, and one is going to be more difficult than that one, more difficult than that one. They're going to want you to be able to do anything in any order. But yeah, I don't know. We're just kind of speculating about this. Show us the game, goddammit.
Guess we'll see May 12th. Hey, yep. What do you need to see? Is there really any more of a known commodity than this?
It's true. They've already got my money.
That's the best thing about this. They could have just said the name of the game. You'd be like, all right, shut up, take my money.
They did that with Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah.
I hope that what happens is, like, you know, it's a similar scenario that we saw from the trailer where he's like, you know, in the first one where he comes out of the tomb and everything and you climb out of the thing and you see the vista, and then this one it's like you fall in. And I hope what happens is, like, right when you hit that cloud patch and you come out the other side, a pinball. From that point on, it's pinball.
No, that'd be great.
Either that or some kind of management set.
You put that curse on us, Ricky Bobby.
Link's on a blitzball team.
Yes, it's a coaching. Yeah, you're just managing a season of a blitzball team.
I hope there's caves. Maybe that's gonna what they do with shrines. Because I think one of the things about Breath of the Wild is they're giving you like tons of different terrain. There were things like the Forgotten Temple, or there was the cavern in Hebra that had the Dodongo skeleton in it. Like, there were like chasms that you could go into, but there wasn't like a system of caves.
Yeah.
Like, there were like, I guess maybe like the Hyrule castle.
Yeah, there's like tons of mountains, no caves.
Yeah. And it'd just be cool to like blow up a wall and feel like, okay, here's a cave, and it's got like a couple of different corridors and a couple of caverns that you go into and find some shit. I like that kind of stuff.
You always like just going, what the fuck's that, and going and explore. That's your thing.
Yep. I'd much rather like check off all the check marks. Like, have I been everywhere? Okay, good. Now it's time to start the game. Now it's time to go rescue this bitch.
I mean, they did. Yeah,
I just feel like you're...
Did you collect all your Korok seeds?
I did not collect all the Korok seeds. No,
casual. I was say you want it, but they give it to you, and you're like, no, thank you.
Did you?
Of course not. No way would I do that.
I'm not that compulsive, however.
I got every complete armor set upgraded, all of them. Uh-huh. My wall, like the wall that I have, has the very best weapons on it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Weapons in my hands are just as good as those, too. Like, I was decked out by the end of that game.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it. I had no interest in collecting
Korok seeds. Five Korok seeds.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I would see them and be like, okay, it's cute that that's there. I don't want it.
I think
I had to collect just a minimum amount to accomplish something in the game. And I feel like I did as many as I needed to get that.
Like 250 or something in order to get all of your...
And how many are there? Like 8,000?
Yeah.
999. But I was not nearly that compulsive to try to get all these things. However, if they gave you like a checklist... Here's all the Korok seeds you can find. Go get them. I might have.
What if they gave you like a dousing? Like a Korok seed finder?
No, I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to go through like a dousing mechanic to hunt
checklists, graphs, maps. John's just...
The map in Breath of the Wild is so good because like it gives you like the names of places and like points of interest, and you can like put the little stamps. Okay, I'm in the new region. I'm going to go here. I'm going to put down 20 stamps and follow my route to discover all the things. It's real good.
I don't think John can get any more erect right now, just talking about this.
Oh, that's amazing.
He's about to burst out of his jeans.
So we do have, we have confirmation of games coming in 2023, but we do not have release dates for them just yet. We'll go through the list here. Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp. Actually, that one might not even be 2023. That one might just be TBA at this point. It's got to come out, right?
Have they said anything about why?
The last time they said anything, it was, what, like a month before it was supposed to come out. It was supposed to come out in April of last year. And then they said because of, it was right after Russia invaded Ukraine, and they said due to world events, we've decided to delay this game about war, which so many other games about war have come out, and nobody's been like, hey, how dare you? Mm-hmm. So I think their time of showing sensitivity, I think it's been long enough. Release the goddamn game. Give it to me. I'll even tell you when you should release it. You should release it in April because the only other game we have that month is Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection. I'm not buying it. I refuse.
What if this was like a practical joke and the game was never coming out, but then it got leaked and then it thought it was coming out? They're like, oh shit, what did we do? And then like the war happened, like, oh my god, we have an excuse.
They had
just fade away and not worry about this game.
Well, they delayed it already. Like, they announced it. And then, like, WayForward, who was allegedly making these remakes that may or may not exist, they're like, oh, yeah, it's coming out in December. Like, well, shit, that's not enough time to make this game. All right, it's coming out in April. Like, that's not enough time either. Like, okay, there's a war on. We can delay it indefinitely. I don't know. I think any conspiracy goes at this point.
Mm.
Give us the game.
So you think they're just forgetting at the office every day? They're like, there's something we're supposed to do.
They're just supposed to, like, press the button, like, release?
And yeah, it's just, there's something we're supposed to do. I can't remember.
I'm going to start writing them letters.
This Pepe Silvia.
Maybe the problem is that they accidentally developed it for the Vita. And they're like, oh my god, guys, we got the wrong console.
They can't just, like, change the file name to .com. Dot switch.
No, nice.
Let's see. Outer Wilds. That's a game that was announced for, like, coming out last year and just kind of, like, disappeared, turned into vapor. So who knows about that one? Lord of the Rings Gollum. Got a Lord of the Rings coming out next year, fellas.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
There you go. Not exactly sure what it's supposed to entail, but...
Something with Gollum.
Yeah, you'll probably play as
I hope Gollum. It's just, like, graphic us eating fish that we just caught from streams.
There's got to be, like, a fishing game, right?
Yeah.
Like, they would have to.
That and a riddle game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. I don't know, like, maybe it's
what would be great is if there was they were advertising the fact that you've got 100 different customizable outfits, but they're all just, like, ratty-ass cloths that you use to cover as junk. It's 100 different kinds of shitty cloths.
That'd be great. And one of the costumes, he takes it off and puts it around his head.
Yes.
And you just see everything. You've seen it all. If I were to make a guess about when this game takes place, I would guess it takes place after Bilbo steals, in quotes, the ring, and he goes out to follow him, and then you have to, like, go on your Gollum adventure where you're sneaking around Middle-earth trying to figure out where Bilbo absconded to with your ring.
Yeah. Who's a grosser eater of fish, him or the penguin from Batman Returns?
Him.
You think that was worse?
Maybe.
Because Danny DeVito, he went to town on that fish, and it was gross.
Yeah. It was pretty nasty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's something worth pondering.
Yeah.
Let's see. A couple other games. Trinity Trigger. Hollow Knight Silksong is allegedly coming out this year. We'll see.
If it does, that would be like... I don't know. I mean, that would be hyperbolic to say that it's as big as Tears of the Kingdom, but just through the sheer amount of time we've been waiting for this game.
It's true.
Like, oh my god, give us Silksong. You've shown us video for years that this thing exists. Mm-hmm. But they just withhold. They abscond. Yeah.
It's another one where maybe they should have waited a little bit longer before they actually announced it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd be pumped to play that game this year. When I first played Hollow Knight, I wasn't exactly expecting like this 30, 40-hour Metroid-style game. I don't think that's like an ideal amount of time to be spending in a Metroid-style game. But you know, now that I know what I'm getting into, I'm probably better prepared to absorb it that way, set more time aside to actually... engage with it. Mm-hmm. When the first Hollow Knight came out on Switch, I was like, oh, okay, I'll probably be able to get through this in a couple weeks. Nope, sure can't.
Yeah.
Let's see, Metal Slug Tactics. That was a game that was announced for last year and ended up getting pushed into this year.
Which, again, maybe, also, because, you know, Advance Wars probably sees this and is like, okay, you're biting my style.
Mm.
Maybe their game plan is to just shadow drop it on the same day that...
Oh.
Metal Slug announces their release date, and they're like, actually, by the way, Reboot Campbell and Plus 2 is going to come out.
So for whatever reason, they just want to eat each other's lunch?
Oh, yeah, exactly. This is super petty at this point.
Oxenfree 2. Ryan, do you ever play Oxenfree?
I don't recall. I don't think so. No,
that's a game that you might be into. I played it. I played it through.
Are there Pokemon in it?
There are no Pokemon in it. Okay. However, it is a sort of like a psychological horror narrative driven game. I mean, there is some light puzzle solving to it, but it's a lot of story driven like horror, which is pretty cool.
Okay, yeah, that is kind of right up my alley.
And Oxenfree too, as far as I can tell, is like a continuation of it. And there's like some fun characterization things if you're into that kind of thing in the first Oxenfree, where it prompts you with a lot of like answers to questions other people are asking you who are in your party, or you can pose questions to them, and you can kind of choose to like be snarky or compassionate or indifferent, and like the timing in which you will answer questions sort of affects how people respond to you. So people will be going through this dialogue, this voice dialogue, and your options for how you're going to respond will pop up and like be like an active time bar for when you're able to respond. You can wait for them to finish, or you can completely cut them off to try to get through things quickly, and that will like affect how they respond to you. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty neat system. Let's see. Sea of Stars. And every time that game is shown, they always make note to mention that it's from the developers of The Messenger, which is a cool game. But this is more of a RPG. Sort of okay. Drawing inspiration from, they say, really? Chrono Trigger. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really nice looking game.
The Messenger was a lot of fun. That was a really cool game.
Mm-hmm. Got a really nice pixel art style to it, which is what you would expect from Sabotage, who is the name of the developer here. They make really nice looking pixel art games. That one looks really cool. Pikmin 4 is coming out in 2023, maybe 2024, we'll see. But that's one of the only other first party Nintendo games we know about past Tears of the Kingdom. Not really sure what else is they're publishing on their system. What's the name of that game? Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. It's based on Jet Set Radio. Is coming to Switch next year. That was another one that was supposed to be last year. Ended up getting pushed into this year. A lot of game delays last year. But yeah, it looks a lot like Jet Set Radio, with like you're sort of grinding on rails, or like a almost Tony Hawk-ish platforming, and then you reach your checkpoints by tagging with your little graffiti. Got a really nice art style to it. Really bombastic.
Yeah, that kind of cell graphic stuff. Mm-hmm. Looks fun. Looks cool.
Yeah. And The Plucky Squire. I'm pretty pumped for this one. Do you guys, I was showing the trailer earlier.
That looked really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was giving me, although it has absolutely nothing to do with the game, but it was giving me Little King Story vibes.
Yeah, you know, it does kind of have that, the toy room vibe to it, an art style to it.
Like, so, while that was coming out, I was like, man, they need to come out with another one of those. Like, it's,
yeah,
that would be good if they come out with one.
They did a version, I can't remember if it was a remake or a new game for Little King Story, but they put it on the Vita, which is probably why no one heard of it.
Ah, yeah.
But The Plucky Squire, when it's they start off the trailer, it just kind of looks like a top-down action game, sort of vaguely like Zelda or maybe something like Blossom Tales.
Yeah, I wasn't too intrigued with it on that part. I was like, all right, this kind of looks like a couple of games recently that came out were kind of like this kind of feel. Like, what was that one with the little boy making the story, and you're playing through that, and you're playing through the pages?
Oh, RPG time? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. I was like, this is just that. I mean, it was,
and then he jumps off the page, and he's walking around this kid's room, and like doing his Zelda quest and stuff.
Shit up, and this is like, all right.
And it looks like they do the thing like they did it in Mario Odyssey and in Legend of Zelda, the one for the 3DS. God damn it. The sequel to A Link to the Past, Link Between Worlds, where you connect, like make yourself two dimensional and like walk along the walls and stuff. So that looks really cool. Yeah, I'm pretty pumped for this one. I think it looks really neat.
This looks pretty cool.
Master Detective Archives Rain Code. That's a detective game. This was one that was featured in a Nintendo Direct, so I think it's worth bringing up. I think, and it's got like some pedigree behind it for people who are into like the sort of like detective visual novel-y type stuff. I think like it's from the developer that did Danganronpa, if I'm not mistaken.
good name. I mean, it's a long name.
It is a long name.
Third longest name on our list.
I think it's like in the running for one of the best names.
I mean, well, but like Bayonetta's gonna win. What's the mouthful here for Bayonetta?
Sereza and the Lost Demons.
Yeah, Bayonetta Origins, Sereza and the Lost Demons.
Yep.
A lot going on there.
Disguise 7 is coming out at some point this year in North America. Allegedly, it's out in a couple days in Japan, and doesn't usually take them that long to localize these games over. But it's a super grindy, like, strategy RPG. I've played a couple of these games, never really done it for me. The big thing about these games, I don't know if you guys remember from, like, Disguise 6 when that was announced for Switch.
Of course, we all remember Disguise 6.
The thing was like how they were like advertising how bloated it got. Like, oh, you can grind your characters all the way up to level 9999 and do billions worth of damage when you spec out your characters. So we're like, okay, well, now you're just throwing numbers around. They don't actually mean anything.
Yeah. If anything, it's probably just more annoying that you're doing complex calculations in a game. Doesn't that like, wouldn't that just hurt performance?
Maybe.
You know?
Well, these games don't really have a complicated visuals, like high polygon count. Like, this isn't, like, even up to the levels like a Fire Emblem. They're nice-looking games, but they're more, you know, a top-down pixel art kind of thing.
Yeah.
I saw this thing today. It was being, like, numbers bloat and, like, have a... You don't really understand the meaning of these things when you didn't talk about such a big scale, but, like, how many days is 100 seconds? No, how many days is 1,000,000 seconds? It's 4 days.
Okay.
How long is 1,000,000,000 seconds?
That would be 4,000 days.
It's 31 years.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like gives you the idea like, okay, you're working on these massive scales, but it makes it seem like 1,000,000 is close to 1,000,000,000. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, like,
billions a lot.
The human brain has a hard time grasping really, really, really big numbers. There just comes a point where it stops to lose meaning to us. It's just not the way our brains function. Our brains do a lot of truly incredible things, but comprehending the difference between, you know, 1,000,000 and 1,000,000,000, like, to truly comprehend the difference of that, or to think about the distance of things from here to deep space. It's just things we don't really grasp, things we have a hard time with.
Do you think it's because language gives us shortcuts? We're able to express 1,000,000,000?
I think it's because it's impractical, and the human mind is built around learning practical information. And knowing, you know, whether something's 600 million miles away or 1,000,000,000 miles away. Like, understanding that difference, like, doesn't really mean much. It's like, is it nearer? Is it far? Like, that's probably more useful.
So what's the next game?
Wes is like, I'm not high enough for this. We got Eiyuden Chronicles 100 Heroes. That's the sort of spiritual successor to Suikoden 1 and 2. We're also getting the Suikoden 1 and 2 remastered on Switch. So you got a lot of... big party RPGs coming your way, if that's your thing. Super Bomberman R was a launch game for Switch. It's getting a sequel this year. Super Bomberman R2. Yeah, weirdly enough. Konami's making a game, fellas. That's news on its own.
That's weird.
Konami's releasing two games, the Suikoden remaster and Super Bomberman R2. Isn't that crazy?
And one of them's new.
Right.
It's absurd.
That's nuts. Slow down, Konami. Give us time to catch up.
Oh my God. Breathe. We don't want anything to hurt you. What happened to you?
Yeah, make sure you stretch before you release these things. You don't want to pull a muscle.
Make sure you get enough sleep. You don't want to catch a cold.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you did.
Let's see. Gunbrella is the pixel art action game from Devolver Digital. That game looks really cool. I'm really into that one. Wes, you just saw a trailer for it earlier.
It looks cool, but these kind of games, I don't know. My taste for games have definitely changed over the years. And when I was younger, I would eat up Gunbrella. But nowadays, I'm like, that looks really cool and a lot of fun. But there's no way on God's green earth I'm getting through that game. I'm going to just, at some point, be like, yeah, that's enough, and walk away.
Mm.
Like, it's just those kind of games I can't hold on to anymore. The same with this game that Ryan's looking at, which we'll talk to about in a second, I guess.
Which one?
Cocoon.
Oh, yeah, that one looks really good, too.
Yeah, we'll get to that one in a minute.
Let's get to it now. Cocoon looks really, really
good. Cocoon's another one of those games. It looks really cool, but I know I'm going to, like, sit there, put in, like, less than a week's worth of gameplay of it, just playing it here and there, and be like, all right, that's enough. And then I will not go back to it.
It is from the lead designer. I don't know if it's from the same development studio, but from the lead designer who did Limbo and Inside. So there's a lot of pedigree there. Those sort of adventure platformers. I think it gives off.
Is that Hob? Is that the game I'm trying to think of?
Yeah, it reminds me
a bit of that.
I was having Hob flashbacks.
I get a lot of Hob vibes from that one too. It looks really, really cool. I really dig these sort of like environmental puzzle solving games. I don't know if there's any sort of combat to it. It would be really nice if there wasn't. It was just kind of like a chill puzzle solver.
Yeah, I look at this and I don't think they need to do anything more than give me some entertaining puzzles.
Yeah, there's just a bunch of different orbs that you're messing with and doing different things with.
Yeah, and going like in and out of layers, like moving up and down layers, like Inception or some shit. I'm interested to see like if there are like the different layers that will affect each other. So you're like going down into a layer to do something that changes something.
I can't. I just can't. My mind doesn't wrap around those kind of games anymore. It's like I need to mess with this on this floor in order to open up this on this floor, and then I can go back below the other floor in order to finally get through that door. Like no, I can't do it.
You just described a Zelda dungeon.
Yeah, and you want to
or Resident Evil.
I do, but it's more like I make the fight for Zelda. Because I know I'm going to like it, but these kind of games, I'm just like, my mind doesn't work like that anymore. I'm stupid.
No, you can do it. You're doing great. Let's see, we also got Disney Illusion Island and She Dreams Elsewhere. She Dreams Elsewhere is a really interesting looking game. It kind of has a Game Boy, a sort of pixel art style to it. I'm sure like you couldn't pull off this specific game on a Game Boy, but that's the visual style it's trying to evoke. An adventure RPG, maybe. It does go into a battle screen where you like have a first person battle with really psychedelic backgrounds,
like
Earthbound.
Thank you. I almost said Earthworm. I'm like, that's not right.
Just like Earthworm Jim. You have a super suit.
You grab your own head and body and whip people with it.
You ride a little hover motorcycle through a wormhole.
Yeah, he runs around in underwear.
Of course.
Freakazoid, chimpanzee.
Where you're mixing franchises. But yeah, I think this game looks really cool. We didn't get a whole lot of hints about how like the battle system works. I mean, of course, it looks turn-taking, but we don't know if the characters are going to be like within specific classes, maybe. We'll see. What else we got? Pepper Grinder is another one from Devolver, another 2D pixel art side-scrolling game, but this is the one where you have like the burrowing tool and you're like zipping through the dirt. I think like Yoshi's Island has done things like this.
That one looks pretty fun. That looks like a really cool game.
I want to.
This is another one like Gumbrella where you're like,
I really want to play these games, but I know I'm not going to get through it, but I really want to.
Some of the stuff they're doing actually made me think of iNinja, where like you burrow through the dirt and you pop out, and then he grabs like a chain and it flings him around to another patch of dirt.
Oh, they need to bring back iNinja.
They won't. But I agree with you.
They need to. That game was a gem.
That game was a joy.
Oh.
No notes. Perfect game. 10 out of 10. Oh, except where you had to like do the eggshell robot fight. That was a pain in the butt.
Which one was the eggshell robot? Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you had to do the fight, but you couldn't take a hit.
Yep. Annoying as fuck.
It was, but I did it.
Sure did. Yeah, I did too. I'm sure I broke a couple controllers though. But yeah, Pepper Grinder, I think it's got a really cool visual style to it. I think that they showed some things like where at some point you're like riding in a giant mech and shooting some things. There's a point where your little burrower tool turns into a gun, so it looks like they're mixing up the gameplay a decent amount.
There was a boss fight where the guy is on a beetle and the beetle's on the roof and you dig through the ground to go up to the roof to like attack it from below, and like that's really cool.
Yep. Yeah, I dig it. Yeah, it's really good.
I see what you did there.
I didn't intend to. I wish you'd stop. That game Moving Out is getting a sequel called Moving Out 2.
I wish it was Moving In.
See, that's better. Just off the top of your head.
Just that would have been so much right.
Is Billy Joel involved at all? I mean, he's got the...
I hope so.
The classic track.
Billy Joel making a game.
Yeah. It's a trunk driving simulator.
And last up on the list of games that are coming out this year, Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, which is a...
Great name.
A horror detective game. I don't know if there's a double jump. But it is cool. Like, it's got a nice visual style. Like, some of it is
it has that PS1 graphic-y look to it. This looks like fun. This looks like a cool game.
Yeah. I think it's got a lot of style. It's cool. And it's nice that horror games have a space to exist on here. We got a couple of them on the list that look pretty cool. You should play it, Wes.
I like horror. I'm a big wimp.
It looks like it's a PS1 game. How can you be scared by a PS1 game?
Yeah, I'm not scary.
Yeah.
And we do also have some content expansion. We already talked about the Fire Emblem one. We'll have the Xenoblade content expansion coming out this year. Mario Kart is still going to have some content expansion to look forward to if you want to play some more racing. You guys think Pokemon maybe gets some content expansion this year?
I would think very late in the year, if so. But yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it was like November.
You think that's like the sort of Pokemon content that we get for the year is just more stuff for Scarlet Violet? Or you think they actually do another full game?
Oh, God, I hope that.
Oh.
We're like, please, no more Pokemon games. Give us a break.
It's got to be like an Isle of Armor DLC kind of thing, where they're just like, here's another island, or we're going to dig into the earth, and here's a whole other underground world, and...
Or let's go to Kalos, fellas.
I feel like that's what the expansion will do, yeah. That makes sense.
They do have a Kalos, but it's an open world explorer. They
could even do it in chunks, because Kalos is broken up into regions. They go, okay, first region, we're going to... First wave, we're going to do this region, and then...
I think it makes sense.
It makes sense.
That would be pretty sweet.
We depending on the timeline, we're finding like the descendants of the gym leaders. I don't know where it is in the timeline.
Don't bring up a Pokemon timeline.
Oh, let's do this. No, let's break this shit down.
Absolutely.
How many years of bitching did they finally give us one for Zelda? Like, come on, let's get a Pokemon timeline.
They drew that
here.
On a bar napkin the night before. Like, whatever, publish this shit. We don't care. That should be the Pokemon timeline. It's just like a note from Game Freak. We don't care.
The first gym is Brock's great-great-great-granddaughter. He fought the great evil, and now he has her sword. Like, let's get wacky. Come on.
So, yeah, I'm sure we'll get some sort of Pokemon content. I hope it is like expansion rather than like a whole other game. I don't think they just made... 3 games within 13 months. I think they can
cool their jets a little bit.
Yeah.
Get some sleep. You're going to get a
couple. And I think that's how it worked with Sword Shield. I don't think like the year that we got the Crown Tundra Isle of Armor expansion, I don't think they released a new game that year. So Sword and Shield comes out, and then 6 months later they do Isle of Armor, and then 6 months after that they did Crown Tundra. And I don't think they did like a full like other Pokemon release that calendar year.
That's what they need to do.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's what my expectation would be, is that they're going to do another probably 2-part expansion thing, and it would make sense to have it release late this year, and then the next one sometime Q1, Q2, 2024.
And just slip in a new Eevee evolution.
That'd be funny.
That'd be great. Oh.
You guys think we get any Zelda expanded content this year? Or you think that that's something that they end up doing next year? Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll just... It's in May. Like, what are they doing? That I don't. I would hope not.
I would hope not too. However,
for as long as they made us wait for the game in earnest, it's kind of shitty for them to already be trying to like
anything. Probably some like amiibos and get armor through the amiibos, like they did with the
maybe
the beast and stuff.
This is how beaten down we are as fans of this console that we would even. Phrase like, at least we get some amiibos.
Remember amiibos, fellas? They used to be big back on the Wii U.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I'm kind of
excited. Show us your Clippy amiibo again.
No,
the zip line.
Chibi-Robo.
Chibi-Robo amiibo. Wow.
Probably one of 10 people who own it.
He's a cool amiibo. He's a cool little dude.
I'm fully expecting that, like, before release. Like, when if they do, like, a big unveiling, like a direct or something, they'll be like, oh, and we're planning on expanded content. You can buy the expansion and get this special costume if you pre-order it. And I'll just be pissed. And I'm not buying it. I'm not going to do it. But I think that over the course of the lifetime of this game, probably within, like, a year, they'll have some sort of big expansion thing like they did for Breath of the Wild.
Which, that expansion was cool. You get a motorcycle... You get to revisit all the divine beasts again.
Maybe they'll give you an airship.
They give you stories. It was great. I'm on board for an airship.
Yeah.
Tell it to fly me over here, and then I drop down to the surface to do shit.
Yep.
And then I just jump right back up to the airship and fly me over there.
Or hear me out, like a big red bird. And you have to like shake the controller for it to flap its wings. No? What else? Oh, there is one more game we don't have a confirmed release date for. You guys think we see Metroid Prime 4 this year? Maybe?
It'd be pretty cool. Yeah, actually. You know what? Sure.
I'm gonna say gospel. we will see this game.
Again, this feels like the kind of shit that they would love to drop for the holiday season.
Fuck it, not happening.
Oh, Wes is going gossip, okay.
I think we're getting invaded by aliens. And they're like, to the events that is happening in our world, we're going to have to delay this game.
How cool. I will fight the aliens off myself.
I bet it would be the other way around, where it would be like that episode from Futurama, where they show up because the lawyer show got canceled. And you're like, when the fuck are you clowns going to release a Metroid 4 Prime?
Single female lawyer. Yes. Single female lawyer. Having lots of sex.
The one and the same. They will show up and being like, fuck you guys, make Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah, where is the goddamn game? The game was initially announced in 2017 in the summer.
Oh, a long time ago,
man. Yeah, and then in like, I think it was in January of 2019, they had to like do an apology video like, yeah, it's not going great, so we're going to start over from scratch. And it's now been 4 years since then, so I think we're due to like, see something. If it comes out this year or not, I don't know, maybe. But, you know, I think four years was long enough to...
Like, they just came out with Dread, and Dread was their apology. And right. Dread was one of the best games of 2021, right?
Yeah.
That was, like, very late in 2021.
So. Yeah,
I like
how their apology is make another fucking game.
And that's the thing. Like, since Metroid Prime 4 has come out, they announced a different Metroid game and released it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where they're at. So, yeah, it's time. Like, this is a... To use a crass expression, shit or get off the pot. They either need to make this game or announce that they're just done with Samus for a while.
Back on the shelf you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a weird story, but what happened today at work, the fire alarm went off and everybody's just kind of standing around. And we're like, is this a drill? What's going on? I'm like, grabbed my walkie and waiting on my walkie.
I'm not hearing anything. Run out of the store. So long, everybody. You're going to burn. I'm getting out of here.
No, I'm seeing you're like, oh, my walkie is like, is this a drill? Or are they testing a lot?
You guys don't have like a leader or anyone that's like, if there's a fire drill?
All we hear over the walkie is, I need all team leads to the front of the store. And that's all they fucking said. And then they started.
So like, Wes lit a cigarette. And
like, I'm seeing here's like, if this is an actual fire, people fucking died. Like, you need to like. Shit or get off the pot, because I'm seeing you're like standing at the front of the store like, are we evacuating or what are we doing? People are checking out, the self-service checkout,
the people are still just like shopping.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. I'm like, we're sitting here, it's been like 5 to 10 minutes now with the alarm's still going on. I'm like, guys, are we getting the fuck out of the store? Are we dying? I don't know what's happening.
It's like,
right now,
if you don't hear like, anybody yell fire, like the alarm goes off and you're like, oh god, someone's panic alarm is going off, right? It's like a car alarm. No one ever hears a car alarm and thinks, oh no, a car is being broken into. They're like, fuck that guy, turn your car alarm off, jerk. It's like if you're in a Target and you hear a fire alarm you go off, you're probably just like, what's wrong with fucking Target?
Right,
you would probably listen for a few seconds and hear, wait for someone to just like scream bloody murder and be like, okay, I'm getting out of here.
We eventually evacuated, but it's just, we're like standing around the store. I'm like, thank god, they're like, let's figure out what the problem is first before we evacuate. Like, no, you get people out of the fucking building first.
What is, and then
you call somebody else to inspect.
Yeah, what is the purpose of fucking alarms? Like, to your point, Ryan, what is the purpose of alarms if we've all just gotten like so cynical that when we hear an alarm go off, we're like, no, fuck that, it's wrong. Yeah. They might as well just like pay a guy to just roam around the store, and if he sees a fire, like, oh my god, there's a fucking fire, and just start pushing people.
Yeah, yeah, like if I saw people running away panicked, and certainly if someone was lit on fire, I would be like, okay. There's a fire. Go the other direction.
That's the sort of threshold of legitimacy. Like, right? If I see a guy on fire.
And then on top of that, after we got out of the building, they're like, all right, all employees get to like the edge of the parking lot, get away from the building. But they didn't fucking doing that to the guests, like the actual customers. They just stood outside the door looking in like, what the fuck's going on? But all the employees are like, get away from the building in case something happens. I'm like, there's other people. Like
what the fuck? You're our biggest insurance liability. Get out. This is
the most, like, unorganized shit I've ever seen. Mm. Like, the last time...
Is there, like, an evacuation plan?
I mean, the last time it was more chaotic, so to speak.
And now it's blasé. We've come from chaotic
to blasé. Yeah, exactly. And this has happened twice now where we had to evacuate. And the last time it was some kind of belt in the air conditioning broke and just smoke was pouring out of the ceiling. And the fire department was like, no, you need to evacuate. Get everybody out now. And on the walkie, he goes, hey, we're evacuating. Every team member, turn to your guests and around you and tell them to leave their cart and get out of the store. And we're like, got it. And I just quickly grabbed people and we got out of the store.
You quickly looted the place.
Yeah. It was great. I was like, all right, we're out of the building. We know we need to get out. That's fine. And then we sat out there and waited. I went out for this one today and I came back in and we had a Nintendo vendor.
Oh, nice.
For the holidays.
Tell them I said hi.
There's one guy who came in just to like fix up our displays and make it all look nice. And he was like putting download code cards out and on the pegs and everything like that. And I went out to evacuate. I came back in and he was still there. He didn't even evacuate the building. He was like, fuck it, I'm doing my job. And like,
I'm getting out of here. I got four more stores to hit today.
I was like, Robert, what the fuck are you doing here? We evacuated. Like,
he goes by Robert?
That's his name. Robert.
He doesn't like go like Rob or anything? No. All right.
He's a nice guy.
Okay.
But yeah, that was my Target story. So yeah, I almost died today.
Well,
first responder over here.
Real hero. I don't want to say I'm a hero, but I mean, you know, that's what people call me. But I don't say I'm.
They make statues for athletes and shit. Why don't they make one for Wes?
It's a good point.
Why doesn't Target have a big Wes statue?
They can just use the one I have in my living
room. Anything else we need to address here?
That Mario Kart will release two new maps and probably sell 10 million copies.
Yep. Yeah, keep on trucking. Yeah. I thought I had a thought and evaporated. So, yeah.
Ain't that shame.
I would. Is there anything?
A headache with pictures.
Is there anything you guys would like to see? Like any games you'd like to see like happen this year?
I want to see Persona 6.
Halo.
Halo, good.
I hear some good things about this. Elden Ring.
Mm-hmm.
So that.
That DLC. Oh.
God of War, probably, but the old God of War.
Right.
The new one I've heard is terrible.
Yeah, we'll get like a God of War collection, but they'll sell them individually.
Yeah. And I also want one in which he murders strictly Judeo-Christian biblical figures. I think that's what I mean most appropriate.
God.
Like he goes after the apostles?
Why not? You know, they all died in unique ways. No two died the same.
They're gonna fucking get you, Bartholomew.
Yeah.
Where were we? I would like actually to see a Donkey Kong. It'd be cool to get a new DK game. That would
be pretty
cool. Because we haven't gotten an original one since... It came out on the Switch in 2018. I think it was originally out on Wii U in 2014. It's been a while.
Donkey Kong that a pilot for Funky Flights.
Good. It's a flight simulator.
And no, it's like top-down plane shooter. So bananas out of the plane.
You're like fucking Galaga. But
yeah, exactly. I want to see Galaga Donkey Kong.
All right.
Shooting bananas out of it.
That's not a bad idea.
Throwing coconuts as bombs.
Yeah, you get to your power-ups from the barrels.
Yeah.
I think it did.
We got a game here, guys.
It makes itself.
I want a new Brain Age.
Sure. Yeah. S-tier franchise Brain Age.
Yeah, established S-tier franchise Brain Age. And a Nintendogs. Why not? It's been so long. Why not?
Hell yeah, Nintendogs.
What are you holding out? Tired of dogs? No one is.
Seriously, like you put one out, like it is like Brain Age. You put one out, you will sell a million of them probably.
Yeah, for real. Do you know how pumped your kids would be if you told them, one, a thing exists called Nintendogs and we're getting it?
Migo would be pretty pumped. Ripley maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah. Donkey Kong, that's it. End of list. So, Donkey Kong and Advance Wars, which they've already announced. They just need to release it.
What about Nintendo Cats? You think that's a thing that could happen, or is it really dogs?
So they did.
It's going to be like Pokemon, where there's a red and blue version. One's cats and dogs.
So the last time they released, they released 9 versions of Nintendogs on the original DS. On the 3DS, one of the launch games was a Nintendogs game, and it was Nintendogs plus cats.
And you get a cat. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, nice. That and Steel Diver. Those are the big. That's the big one-two. The big 1-2 punch for the Nintendo 3DS. Ooh, that launch was botched.
The system was also like what $250.
$250. Yeah. And I think it took them maybe 4 months before they slashed the price to $179.
Yeah,
it goes on to sell 80 million. Did a good job.
Yeah.
So. Next up, we'll do a Pokemon show, you guys. It'll be a good one.
Cool.
Maybe talk about some more new Pokedex entries.
Fine by me.
Yeah.
Then after that, we have the Persona 5 show.
Yeah, I'll have the Persona 5 show. Probably some Fire Emblem talk on there, too.
Yep.
Oh, and we'll get back into our tier rankings, because that'll be the main show. Yeah. All
right, very cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to get back
to that. We each get 2?
Yep. And
you don't want me doing it. I would botch it so hard.
Okay, we'll correct you. I mean...
Why would we get like Moraline angry at me? Like, how the fuck are you saying that this is an A tier? The money doesn't follow, all right?
It sold 300,000 copies in 1986. You buffoon! And throw something.
Yes. You just grabs your bookshelf and drops it on me. Like, God.
It would not be like that. It, I mean, fucking someone's got to review Excitebike or whatever. Like, oh,
we do. Well. We do have to get to Excitebike.
Yeah, a lot but of these we can just pencil in for Fs.
Maybe. We'll see. But we do still have to like figure out what the difference between like an F tier and a D tier is. But that's neither here nor there.
It's a letter.
Shut up. I hate you. This is why you're dating Makoto. That's it. That's the end. Till next time.
So long. Bye-bye.